Westminster family and friends, thank you for being with us this morning. It is a joy to open God's Word together this Resurrection Sunday, to delight that we are in the presence of the Lord. How we long for that presence to be together again in worship, but we have this hope, even amidst our sadness, we have this hope of the risen Savior, who has laid his life down, as we are told in John 10, and is taking it up again. That is our hope this morning. That is our joy. We do not have to live in isolation from the Lord. He has drawn near, and he is drawing near to us this morning. This morning we're looking at Psalm 23, a beautiful psalm of the faith, a favorite psalm of the faith. And have you ever thought what it would be like if you took away the Lord from that psalm? Paul Miller, in his book, The Praying Life, considered that at one point, as he was thinking about cynicism in our own hearts and our prayer in the cynic. He thought about what that would look like without the Lord in the middle of the prayer. And he came up with this. In verse 1, it would simply say, "My, I shall be in want." In verse 2, "Me, me." In verse 3, "My soul, me." In verse 4, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear. Me, me." In verse 5, "Me in the presence of my enemies, my head, my cup." And then in verse 6, "Me, all the days of my life, I will dwell." What he came to understand and conclude is that this life without God at the center of it, it is bankrupt. It is empty. As a matter of fact, these words from that chapter in The Praying Life, Paul Miller concludes this: "We are left obsessing over our wants in the valley of the shadow of death, paralyzed by fear in the presence of our enemies. No wonder so many are so cynical. Both the child and the cynic walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The cynic focuses on darkness, but the child focuses on the shepherd." This resurrection morning, when we come in remembrance of our good shepherd, Jesus himself, as we come and we focus our hearts on the one who has given us life eternal, we're reminded together that we have this good shepherd who has not forsaken us. He has not forsaken us in moments in coronavirus. He has not forsaken us in hardships, in moments of struggle in our own heart. We need him, and he is ever present. God is near. Even now, our Lord is near. He is present in the psalm, and he is present in our reality, and our focus is upon the shepherd this morning. In the Bible, you know, there are three great terms used of Jesus as our shepherd. He is the good shepherd in John chapter 10, who lays down his life for his sheep. In Hebrews 13, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And in 1 Peter 5, he is the chief shepherd of the sheep. Jesus truly is the fulfillment and the embodiment of the shepherd that is mentioned here in Psalm 23. That psalm that brings comfort because of his care. We may walk in courage because God is with us. I heard a Bible teacher this week talk about the fact that he was on a plane recently, and he sat down next to a man, and the man actually had his Bible open. He was reading his Bible, and he noticed that he had two pens in his hand. One was a highlighter, and one was a whiteout marker. He thought that was peculiar. What will you do with Easter? Is it your intent this morning to highlight the promises of Christ, the resurrection truth, or would you seek to white it out? Would you white out Easter 2020? Let me encourage your hearts. There is no whiteout in our journey with God. We only get to highlight his promises and provisions. Even amidst our need for protection, he is present with us, and we need not fear because God has drawn near to us. He's a provision that brings life. He is a promise that gives us hope. And we see this morning, because our good shepherd is the resurrected Savior shepherd, our journey has a sure and certain end because of Jesus and who he is as our good shepherd. We can have confidence this morning because there is a sure and certain end for all of us now and forever in the promises of Christ. I want you to see this morning the beauty of this psalm in Psalm 23. You might think that interesting on a resurrection morn, but it really is a pledged relationship. This idea of Psalm 23, when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," it's this idea of a pledged relationship, God giving himself to us, to our tender and sometimes yet forceful care, that we might go in his direction. The Lord. The idea there is emphatic. The Lord, Yahweh, he is watching out for his people. That word for God there is used 4,000 times in the Bible. It is this emphasis of Scripture and the emphasis of our lives that he is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice that idea of mutual ownership. He is for us and we are for him, and we follow the one who has given us life. And because of that, we know great hope in the presence of our Lord. I mentioned on Monday, Thursday, that this particular psalm was nestled in between Psalm 22, which is a crucifixion psalm. It's a picture of the sufferings of our Savior upon the cross, and Psalm 24, which is a glory psalm, a picture of the ascended glories of Christ. And here in Psalm 23, we have this picture of life. And without pressing it too hard, we have this resurrected shepherd who loves us and leads us in life. We often do this at funerals. I think I've rarely been at a funeral or rarely done a funeral that didn't include Psalm 23. But while it is a comfort in death, it is equally a comfort for life because it is about the life-giving truths and grace of our great shepherd. There were two men some years ago. It's a famous story about the Psalms, and particularly Psalm 23, who were asked to recite Psalms. They were each asked to recite Psalm 23. One was a younger man. He was known for his oration skills, very dramatic in his presentation. The older man was weathered and yet sincere in his faith, and each was asked to come forward and share the psalm before a big crowd. The first young man, he went and he delivered the psalm, and it was precise, it was dramatic, it was beautiful. People rose in applause. He presented the words so well. They rose in applause and actually asked him to come out and do it again. He was so good, they asked him to present it again. And then the elderly man, he came. And as he spoke those words, there was not a noise in the room. There was a holy hush over the room. A holy hush in such a way that the only thing you could hear was the whimper of still small cries in the room. And afterwards, the young man was asked what was the difference in the two readings. And the young man said, with a precision that's helpful for us, he said, "I knew the psalm." The older man, he knew the shepherd. I knew the psalm, he knew the shepherd. Who do you want to know this morning? We are called this morning into resurrection life in the promises of our good shepherd, who is a great shepherd over the flock of God's people, the chief shepherd of our soul, and he invites us in to see his provision, his protection, and his presence. This morning, I want you to see our resurrected shepherd's provision. Our resurrected shepherd leads us to safe habitation. You see that here in verses 1 through 3, don't you? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Here's a shepherd who watches over his flock, ensures the safety of his flock, the comfort and care of his flock. He delights to meet the needs of his flock. He will not let them lack for anything. And it's helpful to note that there are four ways that the shepherd works in making sure that his sheep lack nothing. You see that there in verses 2 and 3. He gives them peace because he is trustworthy. And in giving them peace and trustworthy, he attends to their well-being and gives them direction. You see the peace there in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Studying the psalm this week, I learned something that I didn't know. Sheep don't like to lie down. They don't like to lie down because they're fearful and fretful. They have a hard time being at ease, and they won't lie down unless they're at ease. As a matter of fact, James Montgomery Boyce says this thing: four things must be given by the shepherd before his sheep will lie down, and he must make them lie down. They are concerned because they're fearful, because of fighting in the herd. There is some fright of each other because of flies. Sheep are prone to get flies in their nose. They're very irritating to them. a fear of a lack of food, famine. And so those four things, if they're not present, a sheep doesn't desire. If there's fear, if there's fighting, if there's famine, if there are flies, they're not comfortable. And the picture here is one of the shepherd bringing comfort to his people so that they may lie down in green pastures, well fed, well cared for, so that they might be brought by still waters. That's the idea of a trustworthy shepherd. Jesus is our trustworthy shepherd. Actually, sheep don't like to go to babbling brooks. They don't like running water because they can't hear the prey around them. They much prefer to be at the pool. And so the shepherd leads them to the calm, welcoming pool. And there it is that he brings restoration. In verse 3, he restores my soul, the psalmist says. That restoration is to bring wholeness and health, well-being to the sheep. Sheep aren't smart. They're not self-sufficient. They need a leader. They can't go on their own. And so the directions and care of the shepherd are so important because he leads them where they would falter. He restores them where they might be in danger. He helps them where they might not see the peril before them. He leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's the shepherd who leads and directs. The shepherd who gives comfort to his people, and that is what Jesus does for us. He leads us. You need a leader this morning. You need a shepherd. Can I be honest to each of us this morning and say this? To say with all candor, you being in charge of your life is never a good option. You running out in front, you seeking to lead the way of the Lord, you seeking to lead the way of others around you, it's never a good option for you. We have a shepherd, a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a chief shepherd who nurtures and cares for our soul. His provisions for us are enough. And we are called to follow. We are called to follow. Some of us get spiritual ADD, don't we? I mean, one of the things about being kept inside, sheltered inside all the time, is just that challenge of being cooped in. We get this ADD. We wrestle, don't we? What are we going to do with Jesus? We've had that sinful temptation for the 10th time in the last hour. The question really at the heart is, will I follow Jesus? What am I going to do with Jesus? We've had that 100th argument over the last month with our spouse over this thing that really seems insignificant. The chief question is, what will we do with Jesus? We have this struggle with a rebellious kid who, while we're sheltering in, just defies and defies and defies. And can you believe that even there, the chief question is, what will we do with Jesus? Maybe you have a roommate, and now you're in closer quarters, and they won't pick up after themselves. Every day you come, and they won't put up their bowl, the milk, the cereal. And you feel a struggle there. The chief question is still, what will you do with Jesus? Or maybe you're alone. Maybe this whole event with coronavirus is isolating for you. And you feel that aloneness deeply. You just long for relationship and contact and people to be around. Still, amidst our struggles, our following Jesus is always most important. What will you do with Jesus this morning? He's a good shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the chief leader of our souls, and he is the one who will give us direction. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. We cling to that. Why? Because we're not capable. There's never a point in life where it's a good opportunity or a good option for us to take control of our lives. We need to follow the one who has promised himself to us. And that's what Jesus does in John 10, doesn't he? I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's the heart of the text here. The shepherd cares. He provides for his sheep. He provides as well as he protects them. And notice there, we move to verse 4. You see not only our shepherd's provision, you see our resurrected shepherd's protection there in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How? In the deep and dark places, can you walk with no fear? Even in the places of destruction where evil would desire to do harm to you, how can you walk with no fear? Because the eyes are upon the shepherd who leads us through challenging times and through heartaches. You see, our resurrected shepherd is a guide through the perilous journey, and we are on this journey, and we need a shepherd who would lead us, and he will safely see us through as we rest in him. He will safely march with us, and he will care for us. Even as he comforts us, he will care for us in our deepest need. That's the heart of the psalmist here, to see that there is one who is on the lookout for you, who is concerned for your safety, who is watching over you, and who cares for you, that you might be invited in to the presence of our God. He does that, we're told here in the text, with a rod and a staff. I actually brought my rod and staff this morning. When the shepherd went forward, he was always intending to care for his sheep. And as he cared for his sheep, he had two implements to help. He had a rod. This is somewhat like a rod from the Old Testament shepherd. The shepherd would carry a small rod. He would carry it and stick it in his belt. And if there were hirelings or if there were predators who would come, he would strike. He was not unwilling to knock some heads to protect his sheep. And if he was farther away than could be with a strike from his hand, shepherds in the day of David, they were good. They could throw this club and they could nail the prey, sending them flying. The shepherd cares and protects. And as the sheep moved along, the shepherd would direct. He would use his shepherd's staff to direct and comfort and lead the sheep along the right track. And if they needed to be retrieved, then he could pull the sheep back. And he was always caring. There was this protection. If it needed muscle, he would add muscle. And if it needed tender care, he would add tender care. But in the heart of the shepherd was to be loyal, to watch out for his sheep. And so in that way, the rod and the staff, the psalmist says, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Why? Because they know the willingness of the shepherd to watch out for the sheep. This is particularly important for us today, isn't it? There is no point in your day that Jesus is not watching out for you. The good shepherd has given himself for you. He couldn't go further than he went on Good Friday. To give his life to cover your sins, he couldn't go further. A life for a life. A death for your sin. Jesus went all the way. It is a part of his protecting care for you. But he didn't stay in a grave. He rose up. This resurrected Savior, this resurrected shepherd, he knows what it means to meet us in the valley of the shadow of death, because he has already eclipsed death. He has already had victory over death. And we can acknowledge this morning that he cares for us, and he will at no point take his care for us. You know, Jesus promised his disciples right before he went to the cross in John 16, verse 33, he promised them that he was their peace. In this world, he said, you will have tribulation. But don't fear, I have overcome the world. Before he even rose up, Jesus was confident of his care for his disciples. You will have tribulation. Westminster family, there are struggles, there are tribulations that we will face in this world, but take heart, take courage. Jesus has overcome the world. He has overcome our tribulations. He is our hope. And so this morning, I call you to take good courage. Take courage in the provisions of the Lord. We didn't read it this morning, but I'd like to read it now. A little further in that good shepherd sequence where Jesus is speaking to his disciples in verses 27 through 29, speaking to his care for his sheep, Jesus says these words. My sheep, verse 27, chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. I and the Father are one. You get Jesus' promise there? Which is our present reality. He will care for us. He will see us through to the end. He will provide for us in this life and for the next. And that's exactly where the psalm turns in verses 5 and 6. It turns to the presence of God. In verses 1 through 3, the shepherd speaks of the sheep. The shepherd is spoken of as one who cares, and he is the one who provides for his people. But in verses 4 through 6, the pronoun changes from he to you. It's very personal. The one we call out to, he is committed to us. He's committed to us to bring us out of death's shadows, and he is committed to us to provide for us a banqueting place. He is the host here. He is the one we see, the resurrected shepherd's presence. He is the one who makes himself available that we may feast at his table. Our resurrection host will use us now. He will be with us now and forever. From every day to come, he has promised a safe place for us in his presence. He will not leave. He will not forsake. Notice there in verse 5, it's the Lord who prepares a table, even in the presence of our enemies, even now in the struggles of a sin-torn world. Jesus has prepared his presence for us. But also forever, notice that he anoints our head with oil, our cups overflow. Surely his goodness and his mercy, that steadfast love of the Lord, surely it will go with us to the end. Now and forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All our days now and all our days in eternity to come. He will provide for us because his presence, that is our ultimate goal. Every day in life, we are bequeathed with the goodness, the mercy, the steadfast love of our Savior. And he is the one who has drawn us near. But we have that hope for eternity. We have this secure place, this safe place. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will draw us near. And that's the promise of the text, isn't it? That this resurrected Savior, who is our shepherd, who is our chief shepherd, he has gone through death to life, and he will take us through death to life, that we may dwell with him forever. You know, one of the challenges I find among modern evangelicals like us is that oftentimes we only sense God's presence in the good moments. We think that God is present at the mountaintops of our experience. We sense God in those moments when he makes deep impact on our souls and we have the best of experiences. We think that's when God is present. But notice the psalmist here. He is equally present. Ever-present, because God is everywhere. He is ever-present, even in our hardest moments. Even in our most desperate moments, our Savior is there. Our shepherd is leading. Our God is guiding his people home. What I want you to know this morning is that his presence is with you now. Even though we are in a sanctuary on our end and only a few people here and you're on your couch or somewhere around your house, he is there. Our God is present with his people. We draw together in this presence. It's a misnomer for us to think that God is only present in the good times. He is equally present in the desperate times, and he is with us as his people. And so we hold fast to the God who holds fast to us, a shepherd who will not forsake us, but will lead us. A shepherd who will guard and guide us. A shepherd who will make his presence available to us that we might delight, that in our darkest hours, he is near. He is near. One of my favorite movies in the last couple of years was a movie about Churchill. It's a movie called The Darkest Hour. And there's a moment in that movie where Churchill is contemplating. He is contemplating feeling like that England is the only country that stands against Hitler and world domination. And he is seeking to stand strong. He doesn't want to give in, but there are many in his camp and many in his country who believed that they should pursue peace and sue kind of for a treaty of peace. And he's at this desperate moment. That's not what he believes is best. And the king of England actually comes into Churchill's bedchamber. Not like a king, not a king of England at least, to come into the chamber of someone who is below him as the prime minister. He comes into his bedchamber and he begins to speak to him. And he begins to ask what he is desirous of doing amidst this war and the challenges before England. And Churchill begins to speak to him of his concerns, the tremble and fear of his own heart. And the king sits down. He sits down beside him, and the king says, "You shall have my support at any hour. You shall have my support at any hour." The King, King Jesus, the resurrected Savior, our good shepherd, we have his support at every hour. His hands aren't tied like the King of England. His hands are strong and capable, and his rod and his staff, they will comfort us, and he will see us through this trying time, and he will bring us home into his presence. He will protect, he will provide, and he will lead us as his people. What will you do with Easter, friend? What will you do with Jesus today? We don't have a need for whiteout. We don't need to rewrite this story. We need to highlight this story, and we need to look for the presence and power and provision of the Savior and hold fast. Take heart. Take courage. Take comfort in the good shepherd who will not leave you, but will be with you. That's our resurrection song. That's our resurrection hope, that amidst our darkness, we know one who is already gone and back to life again. He will bring us home. The resurrection of Jesus is our hope, not only amidst a worldwide pandemic, but amidst the heart struggle with sin and alienation, Jesus draws near. What do I want you to do, beloved? If you're a friend and you're here or you're in Bryan College Station or you're around the world, what I want you to do is to trust the Savior who is trustworthy this morning. He's a good shepherd. What do I want us to do together? I want us to be a people of courage who bring encouragement to the world around us, even as we see what the world is going through. We are the hands and feet of Christ, expressing the love of Christ. Yes, in ways that are wise, but in ways that are true. And when we come to the end of ourselves, to the end of our strength, to the end of our wisdom, to the end of our skill, may we know that Jesus is at work, our good shepherd. He will draw us in. He will lead us on. And he will use us, that his name may be magnified. This resurrected Lord, he is the one who is the good shepherd of our soul. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are this morning that we can come and receive this word in the comfort of what is familiar. But Father, I pray that it would be our heart this morning not only to know the song, but to deeply know you, our shepherd. O Lord, our Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, and we shall not be in want. Would you draw us near? Would you make our hearts satisfied with the good gifts of your Christ-honoring, Spirit-filled, gracious love? It's in Jesus' name we pray, O Father. Amen.